and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear children of the Reformation, a question for you this morning. Suppose you are on a big ship in the ocean, and suddenly you fell overboard into the sea. Many, many thousands of feet of water. What do you suppose the captain of the ship would say to you if you fell into the sea? Would he holler out to you and say, "Swim hard for that land over there"? Is that what he'd do? Or would he say to you, "Climb up the ship as fast as you can, and when you get so high, then we'll throw something down to pull you up the rest of the way"? Would he say that to you? If you were drowning in that ocean with all of the sharks around, would the captain say, "Climb up, save yourself, if you think you're worthy"? No, he wouldn't say that, would he? Wouldn't he throw you a life preserver? Sure he would. He'd throw you a life preserver, and then other members of the crew would pull you up out of the water and save you. 500 years ago and more, in the days of Martin Luther, people were drowning in their sins, in the sea of sin, and they were dying by the tens of thousands, by the hundreds of thousands. The problem was that the Pope and the priests and the bishops of the Roman Catholic Church, they were the captains of the ship, and they wouldn't throw out any life preservers. They said to the people, "You climb up to heaven by your works. You do the best that you can to save yourself. You make pilgrimages to Rome and to other holy places, and God will save you." They said to the people, "You work real hard. You climb up to heaven by doing the commandments and by obeying the laws of the church." Well, they've been hearing that for many hundreds of years. The captains, the heads of the church, were not throwing life preservers. And then Luther studied the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. And he found in God's Word that God throws out a life preserver to those who are drowning in their sins. He learned from the Scriptures that we've been saved by grace through faith, and that it is nothing that we can do to save us, but God has already saved us by putting His Son on the cross to live and suffer and die for our sins. So it's not because of our works, but because of what He did for us. Luther was so excited he couldn't help himself. When he discovered this life preserver for himself that saved him from the ocean and the drowning of his own sins, he had to throw that life preserver out to the whole world. That's why we're here today. We've received that life preserver. Luther had to tell the world that we are saved by grace just because God loved us and had mercy upon us. And He lived and died for our sins. Now, you and I are like that person that's drowning in the ocean because of our sins. God has rescued us not because of anything we did. We couldn't climb up to heaven by our works, by our obedience to the law. There's nothing we can brag about. It's simply because of God's wonderful gift in Christ, the gift of His Son. And today, by God's grace, you get to celebrate this wonderful gift of salvation. And you get to proclaim salvation by Scripture alone, by grace alone, by faith alone, by grace alone, because you're the children of the Reformation. So let's do it.
years leading up to the Reformation were dark times for the visible Christian church on earth. The Word of Man had become more important and held more authority than the Word of God. Discussions on church teachings were based more on man's interpretation of Scripture rather than on Scripture itself. And sadly, the lay people of the church were completely at the mercy of the church leaders, for they were not even able to read the Bible for themselves. If this description of the 15th and 16th centuries sounds familiar to you, it should, because we are in a similar situation today. The Word of Man is elevated above the Word of God, not only in the world, but also in many churches, where the teachings of the Bible are trumped by human reason, politics, and financial concerns. And although the Bible is more readily available today than at any other time in history, lay people rush to read books written about the Bible rather than simply reading the Word of God itself.
One of the great truths rediscovered by the Reformation was sola scriptura, the truth that Scripture alone is the final authority on matters of faith and life, both this life and the life to come. Let us hear some of those soul-saving truths from God that speak about sola scriptura or Scripture alone. Undefiled, uncorrupted, and error-free. God's word is pure.
Shall make you free. John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth.
God's word is completely accurate in everything it says, and it presents the historical facts of man's creation, corruption, and redemption. God's word is true and clear.
2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Teacher, 7:1-19. So we have the credit for conform which you have done. Light shine in a dark place until the day is dawn and the morning star rises in your heart.
That's in Peter 1, verse 20 and 21. Knowing this verse that no grafted scripture is in any valid interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
God the Holy Spirit carefully and deliberately gave each human writer the very words to write down. So although the Bible was penned by man, it was written by God. The Bible is God's very own words to man for his salvation. As such, the Bible is not to be read as any other book, which may be open to various criticisms and interpretations of men. God says what he means and means what he says.
Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Psalm chapter 3, verse 6.
By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made up, all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth.
With nothing but his word, God created the heavens and the earth. God's word is powerful and life-giving, both physically and spiritually.
John 6:63. Jesus said, "The word that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life."
Christ, who faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe.
Romans 22, verse 24. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through faith that is in Christ Jesus.
Romans 3, verse 25-26. And God set forth his propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over all the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier upon his faith in Jesus.
Jesus' perfect life has satisfied God's law for us. His atoning death has paid the price for our sins. And his bodily resurrection is the guarantee that God the Father has accepted what Jesus accomplished on our behalf. Because of Jesus, God removes our sin and replaces it with Christ's righteousness. It is the work of Jesus that contributes to our salvation, and we receive that salvation through faith alone.
And even that saving faith itself is a gift of God and not something that we can contribute.
Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. But by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, which they worship it.
So of faith, faith alone, the Lord is my salvation. Oh,
question that often plagued the hearts and minds of those in pre-Reformation times was, how can I be sure that I love God enough, especially when I am so often, when I sin so often every day? God answered. He answered this question by having another chief doctrine be rediscovered through the Reformation. It is not our love for Christ or for God that makes our salvation possible, but rather His love for us. God's love is unconditional and overflowing. It is a love that is deep and profound. God's love is totally undeserved. This is what God means when He speaks of grace. Today, there are many who are plagued by the very same question. You can see it in today's many different religions, which teach that the most important thing in life is loving your neighbor and your God as sincerely as possible. Since the fall into sin, it is man's nature to focus inwardly rather than outwardly. But God would have us focus on what has been done, or on the question, what has Jesus done, rather than on the question, what would Jesus do? God wants us to focus on His grace rather than on our own graciousness.
We have truly done nothing to earn God's favor. Listen to God tell us these very things in His own words. First, hear what we deserve to receive from God because of our sins.
Ezekiel 18:20. The soul who sins shall die.
Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death.
We deserve death because of our sin. Physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. And hell. Hell is described as a fire that will never be quenched, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thankfully, God's grace has removed the punishment because of what Jesus did. Let's do all of Romans 6:23.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Now listen to God tell us. Describe His amazing grace throughout His word.
Romans 5:6. For when we are still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly.
Romans 5:7-8. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. Christ shows His love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Ephesians 2:4-5. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
the Reformation, let us rise for the singing of the last hymn. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Those who have brought offerings today may give them to the usher at the end of the service as you leave. Holy Communion will be celebrated next Sunday. There's also the financial report for September from the CLC for you back there on the registration table. And if you haven't received your Lutheran spokesman for this month, be sure that you pick that up and read it. I want to thank the children for bringing the Reformation scripture message to us today. And also our thanks to Chad Siebert, who did the bulk of this service for us, for his Christian Day School up in Minnesota, St. John's in Okabena, and sent it to us. We appreciate all the efforts of our teachers also. May you all have a blessed Reformation, and let us bow our heads and give give the table prayer. By the way, all of our guests here today are invited to the fellowship dinner. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with your word of truth, the bread of life, the spiritual food that is necessary for our souls. And now we ask you to bless us also as we receive the material, physical bread. Let it give nourishment to our bodies that we may use those bodies and minds to bring glory to you, our Savior. Amen.